Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. Hour five of the G-Bag Nation. We are in the midst of the G-Bag of the year. Started it back there at 5:30 where we replay all the champs from 2025's G-Bag of the day and crown the annual winner. And for the continuation of this segment, we go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has the remainder of your nominees.
When we left off, it was Bobby Bell going to Scott Braun for talking dirty on the G-Bag Nation. Up next, let's go to September, after the Crawford-Canelo fight. Oh, what a great time it was out there. Oh, my gosh, so many celebrities. What a great fight. But my man Teddy Atlas was charged up after that fight, and I loved it. Went on a rant.
Terrence Bud Crawford came into Las Vegas, went up two weight classes to challenge Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship, and he won it running away, Teddy. How impressed were you by his performance tonight?
You kidding me? A beautiful display. That's the sweet science.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what we talk about when we talk about the sweet science. All night long, Crawford made Canelo a day late, a dollar short. All night. Talking about the bigger man, the advantage of the bigger guy. How about the faster guy? How about the smarter guy? How about the quicker guy? How about the guy not only won on the outside, but even beat him at his own game on the inside?
Yeah.
Please, Timmy, I don't want to say no more.
Look, you can't stop God's plan. I told everybody at home that would listen. Anybody that was out there, I told you. I've been in the ring with Bud Crawford. He's a phenomenal fighter. He was something different years ago. He's a lot better fighter now. What a damn performance he put on tonight. What a clinic. He beat Canelo in every avenue. Inside, we was talking about strength. He was stronger than Canelo. We talking about power. He took his power well. Canelo was very timid when he was approaching Crawford.
Damn right he was timid. Because every time he meant to get in, I mean, if the words, like, the best thing I could do is not throw. Put my hands in my pocket.
I can't say no more.
I can't say no more.
He lets him back in.
Teddy's the best, man.
Damn right he was timid.
Yeah. Teddy's so good.
I love him, man. Him and his son. I watched their
passion.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I watched their podcast. All right. This one right here.
Hey.
Oh, yes.
Every little thing that you say or do, hung up. I'm tired of waiting on you.
Madonna's last great song.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right. Let's see here. October 14th, Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Michael Irvin goes off on a podcaster that said Deion Sanders was not fast enough to cover the receivers of today. That triggered Michael Irvin because now you're saying we suck as receivers back in those days or whatever the case may be.
Oh, you found this one.
Well, Eric found it online for me. I could not find it in the folder because there's two that I just could not find from October because we do not have those October folders anymore during the move situation. But we did find it online. It sped up a little bit, which is good for our timing. But here's Michael Irvin going off.
We are the two most accomplished receivers in the history of this game. When you're talking about the most important things, championships, and your stupid ass talking about running fast, like people weren't running fast back then, are you shitting me? Why do you talk on a microphone? Why do you have a microphone? What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know your name.
I certainly
don't know your game. Because I don't see you every year with a gold jacket in that Hall of Fame room. I don't see you anywhere great players are. So who the f*** are you to talk about what, Deion Sanders couldn't cover these guys today? First of all, do you really know what you're talking about? You come from a damn era of everybody gets the trophy in NIL where nobody fights for a starting job. I ain't starred. I'm going to go leave and start somewhere else. Get the f*** out of my face talking noise until you know what you're talking about. I will dominate this era of football. Dominate. I don't mind you being stupid. I don't mind you being dumb. I don't mind you not knowing what the f*** you're talking about. But keep my name out your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about. Keep my name and my image. Don't try to f*** on my work when I won championships on every level. On every level. When they can knock me out.
Yeah.
Capacity. Ain't wrong. Pain. Y'all don't do that. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't never had to do that. So shut the hell up.
You can knock them out.
That's really good.
Because he spits at the camera when he says that on the video, man. Michael's passionate, brother. Michael's passionate.
Now I'm realizing now you're playing the ABBA song. Yeah, I should have known you play the original.
It's okay. It's okay. I heard Madonna. I heard Madonna. I heard her. I was going to go with Madonna at first, and I said, let me go to that ABBA. Mm. Just let me know I know something out here.
Yeah, you do.
Now, October 7th, Gavin Dawson had an honorary G-Bag of the Year nominee.
I was robbed.
Yeah,
you were.
I usually vote against myself, though.
You were robbed, because that was a good one. Shake It Out one time? Come on, bro. We lost that.
I want to see him shake that thing out.
See, I do it with my knee. I get this air bubble in my knee, and I'll like, I'm walking, and I kick my leg out. I shake it out.
Shake it out one time.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Shake that thing out one time.
Tyreek Hill is laying on the sideline with his leg at a 90-degree angle.
I got some. Hold on. I just got something to replace it.
Tank was just a little bit more quiet and professional, you know, or quiet and didn't want to, you know, say his side of the story as much. Remember when Tyron Smith was hotter than a, you know, whole nest of firecracking hornets back there?
Firecracking hornets. I think that was the same day as the dudes thing.
Man, I was on one that day.
You're on a roll.
Hotter than a whole nest of firecracking hornets.
Firecracking hornets.
I think that's a Jerryism. Should be.
It should be. It should be. One more story from you, brother.
Yes. I played a flag football game about 5 or 6 years ago, and it felt like every muscle in my lower half was coming off the bone for about 2 weeks. Do not do that again.
Yeah, the groins, bro.
Yes.
The groins are bad.
It felt like I'd pulled my butt cheeks apart.
My bull cheeks.
Oh, no.
Huh? Yeah. Wait a second.
Like the muscles on the very inside of your butt.
Okay.
Right,
as
the cheeks come together.
Yeah.
I pulled those. Like muscles I didn't even know were there.
You say you tore your crack?
I pulled my crack. That's what it is. Thank you, Wolchuk. You got me home there.
That's a Dwight Howard injury.
I pulled my butt crack.
Suck it up.
Suck it up. All right, man. That's it. G-Bag of the Year 2025. We have all the nominees lined up right there. By the way, don't forget, if you're hearing this for the first time, we do this G-Bag of the Day thing, 5:30. Playing the best audio from around the world, the internet, radio, TV, it doesn't matter. By the way, my name is...
Each weekday at 5:30, Gavin Lucius and the guys bring you the G-Bag of the Day.
Yes, it is. All right, let's do this.
All righty, it is time to vote. Does everybody have in mind who you're picking? Do you want a recap of the nominees in any way?
No,
are we good?
I think I got it. It's a toughie, but I
recap.
Got
it for me if you want.
Okay, you got AI Jerry on why he fired Mike McCarthy. You got Bobby Belt and Sean's fight. You got brought us on the sleeping bags, fan after dark, busting on each other. Coach Ballsack said goodbye. The diss track of the morning show, guys, from Roberto Belt, April 4th. Bully Melrose was in there during the playoffs, probably late May. July 14th, brought us question for Sandler. July 22nd, the Girthquake Trilogy. My questions, Chief's questions, and Bobby going after Scott Braun, producer of that show with Pruszynski.
Brzezinski's in it.
Okay, you got Broadus Glaze and GP. You got Canelo and Crawford, Teddy Atlas bringing the thunder. Michael Irvin defending the goats.
The secret to tracking the ball is just look up, bro.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was saying you could see the spin of it.
Yeah, he had like geometry going on there, but he's just saying look up.
Just look up, man.
So great.
Up.
He's obviously a savant,
Yeah.
When it comes to catching it. And then a couple of honoraries there at the end from me. I'm gonna go with,
those good guys cannot tell you, like they can't teach you how to do that. It's just something they do.
Mom and dad.
Yeah, they just can't explain it to you.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just went out there and shook them.
Get out of bed with it.
Yeah,
you got to talk to the scrubs who had to put in work and study it. You know, they can get a real clean explanation for
the future coaches.
Yes, I'm gonna go with AI Jerry, Chief. How about you?
I'm going with the Bobby Diss to Pepe.
That was incredibly talented, well executed. The diss track of the morning show, guys. Lucius, who are you voting for G-Bag of the Year?
Well, I got Broadus on the sleeping bag saved right here. And also got the combo pack with Roddy Tellez. Routed to Liz.
Damn. Mm.
We're still tied at one, Woolchuck.
Yeah, the Tolos are definitely wanting Rowdy. I got to go with the Bobby Payton diss track. That was hot fire.
It's 2-1-1, Brian.
Okay, here we go. I did my top five. Number five was Michael Irvin. Number four was Bully Melrose. Number three was the diss track. Number two was Teddy Atlas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got heavy consideration for
and
me.
And Rowdy was number one.
Okay, so we are tied at two, which means we need to jump onto Twitter to determine
look at that.
The G-Bag of the Year is it the Girthquake Trill?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Or is it the diss track from Bobby Belt on the Morning Show Guys? A cut that made four time, but not five. It's in as an honorary nominee, and it's trying to shock the world here. But actually, not voting that five time made Bobby Belt diss us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a subsequent track.
Sure
so
did.
Tables turned.
Let me get on to at G-Bag Nation right here. I need to create this Insta poll. What do you say? You want to leave this up all weekend?
Hell yeah. I like that idea.
Come back and see it Monday?
Yeah. What about the guy that called the Christian? Yeah, man, that was so good. And the dude calling the Christian radio station, bitching about the Cowboys.
Yes.
Yes.
It was
so good. It didn't go five, though, but it was great, bro.
Okay. At G-Bag Nation, you can follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio. We'll create this poll here for the next a couple of days, two days and 8 hours or so. Who is your G-Bag of the day? The nominees are the Rowdy Tellez soap opera, I guess you would call that. Mm-hmm. And then our other nominee is Bobby Belt diss track. Okay, so it is going live at G-Bag Nation. Please follow us all when you get there, and we'll have ourselves a time, okay? It is the G-Bag Nation. You're on 105 through the Fan, a proper football Friday with Oregon and Indiana. The pregame is going on right now. Hopefully we get a game as good as last night's was, Chief. And congratulations to you and the Chiafalo family
for
getting Miami in there. That was fun.
Hope you get that credential, man.
I know, dude. I know. I'm gonna be pumped about it. I'm gonna hop on a Spirit Airlines flight and
ruin your back, but it's all worth it.
It's all worth it. It's all worth it.
Your brother can't help with United?
I could look at maybe the standby, but standby gets a little weird.
It does. It surely does. I know all about that D3, baby.
Yeah, it's one of them things. Like, my parents got the real hookup. Like, my parents are like,
you got to decide.
They're
like
the ace. So they can pretty much go wherever, whenever.
Fair enough.
But I could just get me one of them standby tickets. So I'm a little bit nervous about doing that. But if it comes to it, I'll sit at the airport and miss a million flights until it's time.
I hate when you're sitting already on there and then somebody comes and say, we got to get up. Yeah. There's a person that paid. You're like,
Eric will just eat the whole time he's there.
Yeah. Mike, bro, let me just lay down in the aisle. Yeah. I'll sit in the bathroom the whole time.
Can I just stand?
Okay, so with that, gentlemen, would you guys like to play a little bit of Wild Card Weekend Football Guy of the Day?
Sure. Yes.
Sure, let's do it. Sure.
I got your 14 playoff teams. I have their fatal flaw.
Oh.
What would likely get them beat if they do not make it on a Super Bowl run. And I'll go through each team, and then I need you guys to holler out what you think their biggest weakness is, and we'll see which one of you gets it right. And we'll start with the Denver Broncos. The number one seed in the AFC, what is their fatal flaw?
Experience at quarterback.
I mean, Bo Nix, I think, would be. But
I know,
he has been good, right? So, consistent running game, I guess, would be my guess. Like, because their defense doesn't have a flaw, really.
They had the injury to Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey was in Dobbins. I think Dobbins was hurt, and then Harvey started to pick it up at the end of the year, but if it's not the quarterback, I guess it would be running game.
So what is your official answer?
Running game.
Okay. Chiafalo?
Yeah, I think it would be – it's hard to imagine it's defensive.
Yeah. I don't know what they're – it can't be their secondary.
I think some of their defensive numbers has sort of slid a little bit over the course of the season. But I would just say, yeah, like their deep passing game.
Okay, and I think that point would go to Broadus. It is Bo Nix. He was 25th in off-target rate and 28th in yards per attempt. He threw 11 picks and had 7 more dropped, tied for second. Dude could have thrown 18 interceptions this year. Does a great job often of keeping the Broncos on track. His mobility is underrated, but he also plays with fire more than Sean Payton would like. So that is the Denver Broncos, and point brought us here. Number two is the New England Patriots. What is the Patriots' fatal flaw?
It would be
something on the defensive side of the ball.
I think it's like, is it Drake May just being sacked?
Pressure.
Good guess. Pressure with Drake May, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to say it has to do with. I was going to say protection is what I was going to say.
Drake May. Yeah.
They played a weak ass schedule.
Yeah. Weak ass schedule. I like that guess as well. This will be no point, as actually we had a midseason narrative shift. It's their run defense. Halfway through the season, run defense would have been considered one of New England's strengths. Through the first 9 weeks, they were 7th in defensive rushing success rate. They hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher. Since week 10, the Pats are dead last by a wide margin in defensive rushing success rate. Injuries have played a big part.
That's stunning.
They have not been good, and they're going to need to remedy that.
Okay, here's a little something to see through that. Big-time injury, Milton Williams. He has returned.
Okay.
I think that is could almost nullify that particular flaw for them.
They're going to host the Chargers on Sunday Night Football, and I did see Omarion Hampton is likely going to play, even though he still is questionable.
Yes.
Yes, he's supposed to be back.
All righty. Playoff team fatal flaws here in the G-Bag Nation on a super wild card weekend football Friday in the nation. Number three is the Jacksonville Jaguars. What is their fatal flaw, gentlemen?
The defense looked pretty good from Brian giving us those numbers earlier. Yeah. I guess maybe this is also running the ball. I mean, could this be like a rushing attack thing? Let's go red zone offense.
Brian?
I'm going to go, this is hard. I want to think particularly the quarterback's always kind of running.
Yeah,
I'll go with this one on protection because the quarterback's always on the move, running. Quarterback protection.
I'm just gonna lean into the Jordan Lewis injury, and they got no names at corner, but their defense is good. I'm gonna go with that, like their pass defense.
That's a really good guess as well, but Brian is going to take the point once again. He's up 2-0 in this competition. What happens against some of the elite pass rushers? Sacks can still be an issue. The Broncos sacked Lawrence 5 times in Week 16. The Texans had 5 in Week 10. Seahawks and Rams both had 7 in back-to-back weeks as Trevor Lawrence finished 22nd in sack rate this season. And though he was better in the second half of the year, those issues can still pop up there for the Jags. Let's go to the Steelers. They're going to take on the Texans Monday Night Football, capping it off where everybody knows the history at this point.
Yeah.
Dome teams playing sub 40 degrees are 1-14. The Steelers are 23-1 in their last 24 home Monday Night Football games.
So for the Texans here, is that what we're looking at?
No, we're looking at the Steelers.
Oh, we're looking at the Steelers.
First, then the Texans.
Oh, I would say.
Yeah,
it's got to be their explosive. Like, everything is at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, like, downfield
so much
passing.
On Yak.
I mean, like 20-plus yard completions.
Air yards.
Yep, you guys nailed it. Steelers had the 6th fewest plays of 10-plus yards this season and the 2nd fewest among playoff teams is 6.0 air yards per attempt, lowest in the NFL.
My goodness.
Yeah, okay, so nice job on that one, gentlemen. How about the Houston Texans? What is their fatal flaw? What's going to get Houston beat if they don't make it?
Offensive line. Right? I think it's the rushing attack, offensive line. I don't know if it's pressure or inability to run the football. But that's my guess.
Well, I mean, I saw that stat. The red zone offense is freaking awful.
Okay.
They can't run the ball inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess maybe, like, Stroud could help there. So, but that all ties in. The offensive line, the rushing attack. But I think the red zone offense is, like, the worst among all playoff teams.
I'm going to say they can't run the ball.
Yeah, Wolchuk gets the point here. 28th in offensive success rate.
Good Lord.
Overall, 30th in rushing success rate. But it is red zone offense. And
that's brutal.
CBS Sports says they can somewhat make up for it by having arguably the NFL's best defense, which gives them short fields and an occasional big play. But overall, it is ugly. It somehow gets even uglier in the red zone, where they're 30th in touchdown rate. There are too many penalties, 16 red zone penalties, most in the NFL, and runs that go nowhere, and hopeless passing plays. Yeah, that field gets shrunk, and their ability to throw deep is eliminated at that point. We go to the Buffalo Bills at number six. Gentlemen, what is the Bills' fatal flaw?
Nobody circles the wagon.
It's one of two Buffalo things. Bills. It's either just no dynamic pass catcher, or it's your run defense.
I'm going to say,
I think they're like, what are they, 30th or something?
We said 29th.
Yeah, it's probably their run defense.
The inside the tackles, they're horrible.
Yeah, and so that's been a problem for 2 years now.
I'm going to say run defense, yeah, just going off what I saw.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You guys all nailed it, but I think Chief Extra nails it because he mentioned the outside wide receivers, which CBS Sports does in this article. Only one team ever has won the Super Bowl while allowing more than 5 yards per rush. And that year, 2006, was the Colts, and Bob Sanders was out for the majority of that season.
Yeah, and then they came back
to the playoffs and fixed them. All right, there's more teams to go, but we got to go.